What's up, barbecue fam? I'm sitting down with Johnny White. He's a former pit master over at Franklin, La Barbecue, and Valentina's. He currently has a YouTube channel called Jerby BBQ, and it's up to 3,000 subs right now. Congratulations, by
the
way,
man.
Thank
you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're also one of the owners of Goldie's Barbecue in Kennedale. And my first question is, what got you into barbecue?
Really, I've been doing food industry stuff since I was like 15. I started at Subway, and I've just been jumping around restaurants and whatnot. I did stop and work at Home Depot for a little bit, but for the most part, it's been the restaurant industry. So, so what you kind of learn when you go to Austin, what you kind of learn is barbecue pays the best. Mm-hmm. The long hours and stuff. I mean, it makes sense, like the for the cooks and whatnot. It's a tough environment. Just the heat. Everything. That's a tough job, so it makes sense. So just being in Austin around a lot of great barbecue, I just wanted to learn how to do it. Just mm-hmm. wanted to learn, pretty much. Just was interested. That looks more fun than making a Subway sandwich. So
yeah.
Why don't I learn how to make brisket?
So much. From a sandwich artiste to a pit guy, huh?
Yeah.
Man, what was it like working for places like Franklin, La Barbecue, and Valentina's? I mean, I know I would be super nervous, or if I was at Franklin, I'd be worried about him being over my shoulder. Was there just trying to, were you always like, man, I got to make sure quality's, on par?
I would say, all three places, I think the owners, Miguel at Valentina's, he was there most of the time, he was always there, and he worked some really, really wild shifts. So I usually worked when owners were around. I guess La Barbecue, Ali and Leanne, they were always coming in. They were doing quality checks all the time, so the food stayed good, and they stayed on top of that. And Franklin was really more Braun and Benji kind of double checking me. Mm-hmm. So I would say that every restaurant should, keep a good eye on their quality and whatnot. So
absolutely.
If you just came in on time, you did your thing, you did what they told you, you stayed consistent as a person and as a cook, then you were good to go. You were good to go.
Wow, that's awesome. How long were you working in the barbecue industry before you started your own business, Goldie's?
I think it was maybe 5 years.
5 years?
Maybe 4 years. I started at La Barbecue.
Okay.
I worked there for a while with Dylan. And then I went to Valentina's. I worked there for a little bit. And then I went to Franklin for 3 years. So I want to say it was either 4.5 years. I think 6 months at La Barbecue, 6 months at Valentina's, 3 years at Franklin.
Wow.
And
was
from Franklin straight to opening my own place.
Dude, that's one day goals for me, man. When it comes to with North Texas barbecue and Central Texas barbecue, for myself, I know I'm very much seeing the popularity of barbecue starting to grow in North Texas. Would you have to agree?
In the DFW area?
Yeah.
Definitely. I think there's a ton of good spots out here in DFW, and we're just one of them, So mm-hmm. But you pick a place, and it's you drive it to any place, it's gonna be good. I really do think DFW is definitely coming around to one of those places where it's just there's every corner you got a good barbecue spot, something like that. So
if you had to choose a place, where would you go?
Cadillac.
Cadillac.
Cadillac. Yeah, that's my favorite in DFW. Sorry. Everyone, I just really like. I like it. When I went, it was fantastic. I've only been once because mm-hmm. I'm scared to go back. But it was amazing. It was so good. One of the best trays of barbecue I've ever had in my history of just going and eating barbecue. So that's why I stay there. But I haven't been to a lot of places more than once. But the other place, there is one more other place. Zavala's. Zavala's Barbecue, I've been there a ton.
That's the one in Grand Prairie, right?
In Grand Prairie. They are considered DFW, I think. Right after DFW, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Grand Prairie. But so is Zavala's. Zavala's is definitely super, super good. The vibe there is awesome, and the food is amazing. So Cadillac and Zavala's are a couple of my favorites.
Okay. I mean, I know with Cadillac, I still have to visit there, but Andrew, the pit guy over there,
good thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd have to say he's probably one of the best pit guys up here for sure.
Definitely. I can just kind of tell from his Instagram. Yeah, he's into it. He takes it seriously. He does a great job, and then he'll post a picture of it.
Yeah, his trim job looks insane.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Definitely. And Ellie at Zavala's, like, she's the pitmaster there. She's amazing too. She's not as well known as Good Things, but Ellie is super good, very, very good. I'm jealous that we couldn't hire her here, but both of them super, super great.
And isn't Joe Zavala's place on like Brisket Lane?
He actually got the city to change the name of the street that he was on. And the street is called Brisket. He's on Brisket Street. I guess it's Brisket Lane, but he's on Brisket Street.
Dude, that's sick.
It is super cool.
Talk about goals for sure. Recently I saw you in a little YouTube video with Joe Zavala and Matt Pittman with Meat Church. I thought that was super cool, doing the little tallow video. And what was the foil?
It was a foil versus paper. It was fat side up versus fat side down. And it was tallow versus no tallow. That was like the whole video series.
Yeah.
I did a taste test on the foil versus paper. And then I did the whole video, like the tallow versus no tallow.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I guess he heard that I use tallow and whatnot, or I know my way around tallow.
Yeah.
So that video series was amazing. Joe hit me up. I guess they were looking for someone to do the tallow versus no tallow. So he hit me up and asked me if I could do it, and I was like, oh, hell yeah. I mean, being on that YouTube channel definitely helped out my YouTube channel, helped out Goldie's a ton. That was the first time I ever met Matt from Meat Church, and he's a super cool dude. And now we're pretty close, because I didn't really know the time, but he was getting the mill scale, working with mill scale a bunch. I've known those guys forever, and they built our pits, and now I have a backyard mill scale, and so now we're just like all hanging out and doing stuff together. So it's been really cool.
That's cool. So you're kind of like a ambassador for mill scale, kind of like their backyard model.
I am an ambassador, but not like I don't think I'm an official one. I think it's more Goldie's. It's like an ambassador because like we use their thing. But I mean, I love the backyard smoker. I'm doing a video series cooking on the backyard smoker, just because I thought it would be more relatable to like barbecue guys.
Yeah,
like, not everyone has a 1,000-gallon smoker. Like,
yeah, no.
Like the trimming and seasoning video I did was relatable to them, but like, you know, pulling, wrapping, all that stuff is not as relatable on a 1,000-gallon, and definitely not as relatable doing like 20 briskets compared to one brisket. So, so that's why I got that backyard smoker. So that was really nice of them, and it is the nicest backyard smoker in the game. Like, and it's not even close. So, I'm really happy I get to use it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I even saw a picture of excuse me, Matt Pittman on a, what is it, the Spider?
Yeah, it's three-wheel motorcycle. Yeah, that was, yeah, he drove that here, and him and his crew came and ate, and it was super awesome. He posted a picture of our place, and we just, like, Goldie's got, like, 5,000 followers.
Dude.
Like, he posted one picture. We went from 9,000 to 14,000 in that, and so we were just super pumped up. We were just so glad, and he loved everything, and he was just super nice, and got some pictures in the smokehouse and stuff like that, you know, using the mill scales and all that good stuff. So he got to take that picture, and they actually posted the brand that makes that bike, reposted it on their Instagram.
Wow.
So that was it was cool. It was super cool.
Dude,
that was a fun day.
So I recently found out a guy named Ben. He's from Alaska.
Yeah.
He did He did a little, I guess maybe you did like a little consultation
did,
for him?
No, or? he did a class.
Oh,
like,
a class.
One of the derby classes. So the derby classes are, if you hit me up, you can schedule any Sunday. Like, we're not cooking on Sundays, so the pits are free and open. So basically on Sundays, like, if you schedule a class with me, we just cook whatever you want to cook. And that's what he came down to do. We did a fat side up brisket and a fat side down brisket, just because he's more used to doing a fat side down. So
yeah, cooking on a Traeger, I think.
Cooking on a Traeger with the pellets and stuff. But I really just had to use. I really had to, like, not every class is the same. I mean, it is kind of some consulting. Like, it's like I talk about like what he could do to help with that with his smoker. Like, mm-hmm. if he wants to, like, anything he could do to, you know, build a better bar, render the fat better, you know, to all sorts of things, you know. So that's kind of what the classes are. Like, they're not just like, I'm just gonna cook this brisket, you just watch me. It's more like,
yeah,
what do you want to do, what are you using when you leave here, you know, what can I help you, what kind of tips can I give you, stuff like that. So every class is pretty unique. Mm-hmm. I would say.
Wow, that's awesome that you did. I had no idea that you did a like Sunday,
yeah,
like,
I just
cooking with Jeremy class.
I just posted it once, and because I'm scared to book a bunch, because it's just like it's a lot. Like, it's a long day. Like, it's 14 hours, and we're just cooking a brisket together, and there's plenty to talk about and stuff. So it's not like bad like that. It's just like, man, I don't know if I want to do every, like, Sundays are kind of like my easy days.
Yeah, your rest day.
It is. It's kind of my easy day where I can, like, actually hang out and talk to customers and stuff like that and drink beers with customers and stuff. So, but I do enjoy the classes. So it's kind of like, you know, it's just kind of, it is what it is.
That's, I'll take some. That's awesome.
Yeah.
How did Ben do, by the way?
Amazing. Ben did great. Ben is a, he's got a cool thing going on in Alaska.
Yeah.
And I definitely plan on getting out there very soon.
Oh, man. I hope I could visit him up there. When he told me he was cooking in, like, negative 27.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. That's intense. So, you know, with the cold and everything, like, there's obviously a lot of different stuff that you have to do. And so I just trying to help, you know, talk about that and help give him any tips I could think of as far as, like, making that an easier process, you know? Mm-hmm. Anything that he hadn't heard or anything that he hadn't thought of.
Yeah. Man, what... So, I saw you posted a YouTube video just... I think it was, like, an hour ago. Was it, like,
It was my first, like, backyard smoker, the mill scale. I cooked some pork ribs. I did, like, one kind of normal, like, what I kind of normally do, and then I did one with the meat church rub, which is what I would just do that style with, like, the meat church rub. So,
yeah.
I just posted that. People were really liking it. I think I might have got a little too drunk before I did the voiceover, but people definitely like it. Because all my videos, I basically do a voiceover thing, is where I shoot the video, and then I cut it up to where I think that I'm only showing, like, stuff that's necessary, mm-hmm. but it's still a very long video. And then I just sit there and I watch the video and I talk over it.
Yeah.
And this one, I just kind of went off, honestly. I went off. You'll see when you watch it. I kind of went off in this video. So no, it's fun if people like it. I mean, I'm just, like, with YouTube, I'm just kind of goofing around.
It's fun.
It's fun. I don't take it too serious. I'm not looking for brand deals and shit like that. I'm just looking to, you know, like, start a new kind of style of barbecue, really, like, kind of inspire the next wave of barbecue with these YouTube videos.
Yeah. And I think with the way that barbecue is going now, and so many people are trying to learn, and YouTube is definitely a great, like, platform for people that are trying to learn barbecue or how to cook a brisket.
Definitely,
and
definitely.
Being able to learn from somebody with your kind of experience, I mean, that's bar none.
That definitely does seem to help. Like, people definitely like that. You know, I've worked at all those restaurants, and then obviously Goldie's, and now, like, I'm just, like, on there, like, you know, I'm giving away, like, some pretty good rubs. I don't feel like it's, like, the secrets, and it's not, I don't hold these things, like, close to me and be like, these are my things, but...
Yeah.
Like, some of it, I guess I do, but I'm not, I mean, I it's definitely different from, like, watching like a 20-minute video than it is to take a class with me or do consulting or take a class at Goldie's. Because also another thing with those classes, like they don't really ever end. Like,
yeah.
Ben will be able to message me and ask me any questions he has for the rest of his life. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just wow. how those that kind of stuff happens. Like, you like every class we've done here, even the ones Dylan did, everyone like still will hit us up and be like, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And like, they just, those classes just last forever. Like, they're just friends. They turn into just friendships.
Yeah.
Like, as you know, that's how it is. Like, that's literally how it is. We just keep on helping. We don't mind, like, you know, helping and sharing information, and we're not secretive or anything like that. Like, I really, really do think that it comes down to the cook and not the, like, the actual, like, pit master or whatever, and yeah. not the ingredients. You yeah. know what I'm saying? So that's why it kind of works like that.
Do you hate that too when people are like, you're a pit master? Or is it because it's that stigma?
I think the pitmaster name could be kind of cool. I think it's just been kind of ruined. I think it's come more yeah. down and kind of like lame now. But I think like it's like I'd rather just, you know, I'm just a cook. I do use the pit as like a tool, and I know how to control that tool very well. And am I a master of it? I don't know. There's probably some more stuff I could learn.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't say I was a master, you know.
Yeah. Man, that, can I do a class?
Yeah, definitely. Anytime.
Be an honor,
Anytime, you just let me know. Like I said, they're every Sunday. That might change here after the Texas Monthly Top 50 comes out, but right now they're every Sunday.
Speaking of the Texas Monthly, who do you think will be top five? That's gonna be hard.
Man, I don't know if I'm. I
or top ten. Well, not, don't can, name top ten, but well, don't name top okay, five.
I don't know. I don't. Do you ever really see like people saying their actual top fives or whatever? Like, it would be a big deal if I said what I actually thought
I
was my
think
top five.
So. Yeah. I don't think that's a big problem.
Okay, my top five. Goldie's number one.
Absolutely. That's not biased at all.
I don't know. I thought that was surprising.
Hey, he loves your trays.
It seems like it. I mean, it seems like it. My number two, just based off the last list, I think Cadillac would probably be number two.
Yeah.
I think Truth, number three. I hope these guys don't get mad at me. I mean, it's really... I mean, obviously, I'm not making the list.
It's just opinion.
I'm not making the list.
It's just your opinion.
It's just my opinion. Yeah. I mean, like, obviously, I want Goldie's to be number one.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
So I'll go Cadillac number two, Truth number three, Zavala's number four, number five. That's rough. That's tough. Oh, 2M. 2M.
Ooh.
2M Smoke House. Yeah, I think that would be my top five. I think these are the restaurants that are kind of, you know, that have taken up the next role of being like those next best barbecue restaurants. Like, I feel really confident in sending anyone there and it being, you know, a very good meal. Very good meal. Saying that there's not other, like, I think I could list like 20 restaurants that I'm really confident in. I think when I think about like the list and stuff like that, and just a place being really busy, there's just a lot of factors. A lot of factors. Just like, you know, how your restaurant's set up and how many tables you have, how many seats. I mean, there's a ton of factors. So, I think that's a pretty good.
That's a good, that's a
solid top five.
With barbecue growing in popularity and brisket used to be like the poor man's cut kind of deal, where it was like a lot of people really struggled with brisket, and today it's like I feel like everyone's gotten brisket down pretty good. What do you think is going to be the next cut, like, of meat that could
rise up
in popularity? I think
brisket isn't there. I think there's a lot of places that are still missing some key points to the brisket. I know there's there's stuff that I'm looking for a brisket that makes it really, really good. And for a brisket that makes it really, really good. And I've only had it at like 20 or so places. Yeah. I think brisket still needs to be focused on. I think people are already going past brisket, and I think they need to come back to it. Mm. I need to get back in the lab and figure out the brisket.
That's just true.
Because when I'm cutting at Goldie's, the first thing I ask anyone is, how much brisket do you want? So that lets me know it is the most important thing on the menu, correct?
Yeah.
Like on any barbecue menu, it is the most important thing.
It is key.
It is very key. So if you're like, I mean, if you need more time to focus on your brisket, you need to focus on your brisket. I promise you, people will come back. If you just only have really, really good brisket, you can be a top 10 place in Texas. Like, you can be a top 10 place in Texas with only very good brisket. I guarantee it.
And you said that there are a few things that you look for in a brisket. What's the ideal brisket, or what's the perfect brisket to you?
Well, I think it's with like a lot of flavor, a lot of beefiness, a lot of smokiness, and the fat being rendered really, really well. And that can be anything really. You could wrap it in paper, you could wrap it in foil, you could no wrap, you could cook it fat side down. I think you can get to that point a lot of different ways, but I still don't think people are getting to that point. That's just my opinion. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Makes sense when you said that. You know, a lot of people are looking past brisket already.
Yeah.
Just because, like, you know, there are quite a few places in Austin that are just nailing brisket, mm-hmm. actually. Like. And I think that topic was brought up with when Russell and I were talking a while back. I brought up lamb. I thought, well, I think Nickel Weight, they're doing lamb. I think they're doing like a lamb taco or something like that. Or I think Russell said that, and I was like, man, lamb's like, it's not as expensive as beef, but
yeah,
it's definitely like just a different protein all in general.
I get it. You know, you want to go past brisket. It's a long cook. It's a long process. There's so mm-hmm. much stuff. But, I mean, when you really, really cook a perfect one that you feel like every bite is good, like every bite of this brisket is going to be one of the best bites of brisket that you can have, that's when I think you can start moving past brisket. Like, if you serve something that you serve brisket that is just like, you know, oh, that's pretty good brisket. Like, I think that's what gets passed a lot. It's like, oh, you know, that's pretty good brisket. Like, I noticed that. That's what I noticed when I'm working. So, I think that happens a lot. And there's nothing, I mean, like I said, I mean, I don't think people are going to stop going to these places because they need to work on the brisket or whatever. But
yeah.
I think I am just a brisket guy. Like, that's what I know most about is brisket. So I just have a good eye for it, I guess, because I've just been focusing on it for so long.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get tired of cooking brisket sometimes?
Not really. I mean, I like messing with the fires. I think I take a lot of pride in the way I build fires, the way I manage fires, the way I manage my smoker, whether, you know, just be where I put the meat on the smoker or where I have the damper or how wide open the door is on the firebox. What temp I'm cooking at, like there's a lot of different variables that I do with the smoker. I really use it as a tool mm-hmm. to kind of to create a perfect brisket.
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying I do every single time. I'm just saying like that's the goal. Like that is what I'm trying to do is make a perfect brisket.
Do you think that you've perfected it, or do you think you're still striving for the?
No, I'm still striving for it for sure. Still striving for it. I mean, I've cooked really, really, really great briskets, but I mean, I still think I could get better. I still think there's more stuff to learn about smokers and offset smokers in general. I think there's more cool techniques that I could learn and hopefully, you know, to make it easier to cook a better brisket, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I think about it.
I think it's super cool that you I was watching one of your YouTube videos, and you were doing the kosher salt, the black pepper, and the Lowry's separate.
Yeah.
And like when I worked at Terry Black's, it was just combined.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I did used to do it combined too, but then I got to the point where I was like, I'm taking a bite of every corner of this brisket that I cooked to figure out, you know, if I missed a spot with seasoning. And I would a lot more often when they're mixed together, I would miss, there wasn't a proper amount of rub hitting the brisket where I wanted to hit it. So when I separated them, I could really eyeball and take my time and figure out that I'm making every single part of this brisket flavorful and you know, good, a good bite.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I kind of separated them like that.
Yeah. The beef rib, you using the beef, was it the beef bouillon?
I used the beef bouillon in the rub, and I tried it before, but I mean, it's strong, like it's strong, like you gotta watch out with that stuff, but like, but with the beef ribs, I mean, they're kind of small, I mean, they're very expensive to buy as well, so that's where it's like, I even feel more pressure to make sure that every single bite is amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of pressure. Someone bought that for $40. I'm not going to let there be a bland bite.
No.
You know what I'm saying? It cannot be bland. If you just spent $40.
Well, just from a business perspective, I mean, if you was a whole case of beef ribs, like $500? Something like that?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, like, they're like $10 a pound. Raw, and they cook down like half their size.
Yeah, so they shrink like, okay, down.
Well, now this brisket or this beef rib is $50. one bone. So that's just how it happens. That's why we don't like we do them, but we do them on Saturdays. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did start that up again.
We started it back up. I think we have it this Saturday. I'm not totally sure, but I'm pretty sure we did. But we did. I mean, we have for the last month had beef ribs every Saturday.
That's.
Just 2 racks, just 6 bones. Usually sells out in the first hour.
The first hour?
Yeah.
Shoot, might need to do more than
right.
6 bones,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. Maybe. I might.
How busy are you guys? Now, you're open from, is it Friday?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 11 till sold out. And now we're picking up really well. I mean, we spent a long time in a hole where we weren't very busy because we were just doing curbside and stuff, but now that we opened the dining room back up and things are looking better, like we at 11 o'clock we have a line of probably about 20 people every day, and then it just kind of holds like that for about an hour. Like people just keep coming right at 11, so
yeah.
And then right at about 12:30, 1 o'clock, we usually die or we sell out.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's nice. I mean, like some weeks we sell out early every single day, and then you know you kind of think like, okay, we were only open 4 hours this week. We were only open 4 hours, and it's still a good business, and that's kind of the funny thing about barbecue.
Yeah,
it's like that's just like that's just how it is. Like snows, you know, open up one day a week for 5 hours, and that's it.
And they make enough money.
Yeah, they make enough money, and they make a lot of money at that. I mean, they got a lot longer line than us. So
that's one place I still haven't gone to.
Yeah,
kind of kicking myself.
Yeah, you should definitely check it out. I mean, I think it's important everyone goes there at least once. You know,
like, gotta meet Miss Tootsie, right?
Yeah, gotta meet Tootsie. You gotta check it out. Gotta see what's going on down there. I think it's a really really cool vibe. It's a classic Texan barbecue vibe.
Oh, because I mean, I've heard people are waiting in line at like 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, they open at 8 a.m. For whatever reason. I don't know.
That's early.
I don't think anyone's asked.
Excuse me.
Why do you open at 8 a.m.?
Yeah, that's kind of random. Normally, it's like 11.
I'm gonna ask it next time, actually.
Maybe she just wants to get it done and over with, man.
I'm ready to get it over with.
While everybody's tailgating.
Yeah. We close at 11 a.m. That's actually sick. That's such fun. I'm about to switch. That sounds nice. Like,
hey.
Got the rest of the day ahead of you.
There you go.
Like, that was just a morning shift.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I know for me, working at Loro, I'm 5:30 to 1:30. I mean, that's just nice. I mean, it's not my own business, but just having a little morning shift and having the rest of the day. Like,
very nice. Awesome. Very, very nice. Yeah, that's a great shift. People hate on the 9 to 5, but I think that's a, I mean, that's not 9 to 5, but I'm thinking like, 9 to 5 is not that bad. I mean, I'm here 1 a.m. till 9 a.m.
Oh, I've done those overnights, and they are, golly, dude.
They're pretty brutal. I did them for a long time at Franklin, too. And I did them when we first opened Goldie's, too. I'd stay up all night cooking the ribs and turkeys and all that good stuff. And I mean, and then I would cut service, and then it got a little dangerous.
You cut for service, too?
Yeah, then I would cut service, too. I would get here at 1 a.m. and stay until, like, 3 p.m.
What? That's crazy.
It was just, we were like, back then we were doing like 50 briskets, and like just the prep from 50 briskets, and then you're looking at, you know, we were doing 50 briskets on Saturday. So then you're looking at like, you know, 26, 28 racks of ribs. Then you're looking at like 15 turkeys, and you're looking at an insane amount of sausage. And then you're looking at like 3 or 4 bus tubs of potato salad, 3 or 4 bus tubs of coleslaw, 3 or 4 bus tubs of beans, and then we're making our own bread, we're making our own pickles, making our own sauce, just all the prep that goes into that. Like everyone was working a lot of hours, like an insane amount of hours. Like and it was only us 5 too. It was still just the 5 owners, and everyone was just working a lot.
Like I think someone's mom was here. Well, I remember one time Russell and I and Joe DeLeon, we all came up here and visited y'all, and we were in the pit room, and somebody's mom walked out. Whose mom was that?
Probably that Dylan's? Probably Dylan's mom. I think there was one weekend where my mom and Dylan's mom did all the dishes.
Jeez.
And,
you like, paid them, right?
Yeah. We paid them. But like, I think Dylan's mom was washing them, and my mom was like drying them. And like that's like what they did, like all through service, and you know that's, I mean we would have got, I mean they would have just obviously stacked up and gotten wild because all 5 of us were super busy during service, but luckily we had them there to you know do that for us. They wanted to help, and we appreciated it and everything. And
absolutely.
We let our moms do the dishes. Like I told them they could, you know, they could just wash the front of the house, stuff like that, but. I think they were literally just back there, like gossiping and like catching up, and like they hadn't seen each other in a while, and like me and Dylan had been friends for a really long time, so they had met like when we were like little kids, so they were just like back there, like just like, you know, just catching up and doing dishes and like, you know, helping their sons, and like I think they liked it. So.
Okay. So you grew up here in Arlington, or DFW?
I grew up in Arlington. I was born in Georgia, but I grew up in Arlington. But I went back to Georgia every summer, but. From like second grade. I moved here in second grade from Georgia.
Where'd you go to school?
Wood Elementary, and then Bowles Junior High, and then Martin High School.
Oh, okay. So I went to Arlington High. Go Colts.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what's up.
No.
Had beef with y'all.
That's right. That's right.
We got beef.
Football season.
Yeah. We got beef with Arlington.
Was it you, Dylan, Jalen, Newpon? I'm forgetting some of it. Lane.
Yeah.
So you all went down to Austin.
Yeah.
And worked down there.
Pretty much at the same time. Well, they were going to school and stuff. They're going to ACC, Texas State, and UT. And I was just down there, just vibing.
Yeah. Just chilling, just trying to make it.
Straight up chilling, just making rent and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Like, had no future plans. But I was just like, just chilling, which is nothing wrong with that. I didn't go to college for one day. I didn't even take a college class. I don't even know if I took the SATs. I was literally like, I'll figure out a way to make it. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of different paths and stuff. So, they just kind of, like, we all moved down there, and then they eventually dropped out of college to open a barbecue restaurant for me, so.
Dude, you know.
It's just funny how stuff works out. Like, there's a lot of different paths to get to the same place, you know, so.
Absolutely.
But they, I mean, they, I think they still have all their degrees and stuff. So
I think that's
false story.
We need a backup plan.
But my backup plan is probably like a plumber.
A plumber.
I did a lot of the plumbing here at Goldie's, just because we, like, opening the restaurant, we couldn't afford to pay plumbers and electricians and people to do drywall and stuff like that. So I just kind of learned that stuff on the fly. Just a few good YouTube videos.
You did all of that?
I did. I replaced all these windows.
Wow.
I built all these tables. I did the plumbing for the sink and the and both these restrooms. I did the drywall and that wall right there. Me and my grandpa built this whole service counter. Most of the stuff you see at Goldie's was made like here, like just from wood and nails and stuff.
Yeah.
So Dad built that thing out there. This like bar.
Oh, seating. Okay.
And then me and my grandpa built the walls for the smokehouse. And then I got a guy off Facebook Marketplace to build the roof for the smokehouse. Because we need to weld it and stuff. And he was deaf and he couldn't speak English. And And
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to laugh.
No,
but
he built the roof for I think like $3,000.
Wow,
which I thought was a super good deal.
Yeah,
it was super cool, super nice. Like that. Yeah, like it was like. I mean, obviously, it was, like I just messaged him on Facebook, and he could like I guess translate it on Facebook, but. Yeah, so he came out here and built it.
Dude, that's super awesome.
I thought I like that. I like that story.
Didn't this building come with like a pit? But it's like a. It looks like concrete.
The old owner of this building, he was a brick mason, and he built a rotisserie style pit out of bricks, and it's like still connected to the building.
Wow.
And you can see it in the smokehouse.
Yeah.
And people love it. Like, the locals love it because they've obviously all been here before and stuff like that. So,
Have you guys tried to use it at all, or is it, like, broken?
We did turn it on once, but the power is just too strong. So, I think we have, like, a lot more fridges and stuff plugged in than he ever did. And we try to turn it on, it just shuts all the power off in the kitchen. So, we just have to get an electrician out here, but it's really not worth it. I really don't think we're going to ever click on it, unless I get in there and, like, clean it up and turn it into, like a whole hog smoker or something like that.
Yeah.
Which maybe I could do, but that's a whole project, you know, so
yeah.
I don't really have time for that.
No.
It would take a couple weeks, for sure.
You guys got anything new coming up? Other than I know you guys just started doing the beef ribs on Saturday, but you guys got anything special whipping up?
No, I don't think so. And that kind of goes back to what I was talking about, the brisket, like moving past the brisket. Mm-hmm. We don't do a whole lot of specials. We don't do a whole lot of the trends and stuff like that. We keep a super solid base Central Texas style barbecue menu. Mm-hmm. And we put all our focus into that menu. And so when you come here, like nothing you order should be bad. Like everything got some extra love in it for sure. So
yeah.
We keep a small menu, make sure everything on that tray is good, and that's just how we're just gonna carry on, you know.
No Guy Ferrari
hot dog apple pie. I mean, I might add that to the menu one day. If that video blows up, I'll add it to the menu. But I just saw that and I was like, I don't know. I just saw it and I was like, no, I know that's not good. I know that's not good. So why is he saying it's good? So then that's why I made it. Because yeah. That's just kind of like the Jerby channel, I guess. Like, it's just like, I don't know. Just like that. You know?
Yeah.
Like I'm not really scared to say what I gotta say. Or, you know, if the hot dog apple pie wasn't good, I'm not gonna eat it and be like, ooh, this is good. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't good. It was gross. It
tasted horrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. And they don't go together. Like, it's not that big a deal. Like, I don't know why you'd be mad at me for saying that, but they do not go together.
Right. Well, Johnny, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me and talk with me for a little bit. And where can people find you on Instagram, YouTube, and especially Goldie's?
I'll be here. I mean, I'm at Goldie's usually every single weekend, either cutting or just walking around talking to people and doing pit tours and stuff. So you can definitely get here. I recommend getting here kind of early now. I think we're kind of picking up. So try to get here before 11 a.m. That's just my best advice. If you want everything on the menu, try to get here before 11 a.m. As far as Instagram goes, just Jerby_BBQ. I usually do some fun stuff like answering questions and doing like factor cap and stuff like that. So in my stories, I like to keep the Instagram pretty fun and post funny pictures and stuff like that. And then YouTube, just you should be able to just like search Jerby BBQ, and hopefully it pops up. I think the channel might be big enough now that it pops up.
Oh yeah,
it
pops up.
Okay, perfect. So just search Jerby BBQ. Watch some of my videos. I got a lot of random stuff. I got stuff I do here at Goldie's. Now I'm working on the backyard series. I have the cinder block smoker that I built and did a couple videos on that. So I think there's some good stuff in those videos for sure. Like some little tidbits and stuff you never heard or never talked about or never see or whatever, or don't notice. So I would just find me there. And I think that's pretty much it.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much, Johnny. You take care,
thank you,
brother.
Thank you. You too.
All right, barbecue fam. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. And we'll catch y'all later. Have a good one, y'all.